Welcome to episode 2 of Literally Books, the podcast. I'm Lindsay.
My name is Magda.
And we are your humble hosts for today. And our theme this week is going to be reading slumps and then tips and tricks for reading.
Yeah.
Tips and trips.
Yeah, trips too. We might be traveling around as we're kind of reminiscing about some of our books. Who knows?
So we'll totally be talking through some of our best practices to get out of reading slumps, and then also just things to help you keep going on your reading journey.
And, you know, just kind of bear in mind, it's totally normal. I think everybody has a really busy life.
Yeah.
Sometimes things happen. You maybe pick up a book and you just didn't really get into it.
True.
And sometimes maybe we pick something up because it's the classy thing to read and it turns out to be super boring and we just don't want to finish it.
Speaking of boring, how was your week?
It was good. Just busy with my other job. But it was good. Yeah. This was, we got to celebrate my big anniversary with my husband this year.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was good.
What's the number?
Oh, it's a big one. We've been together for forever, 17 years now.
Wow.
So it's insane.
So you met when you were 4 years old.
Exactly, right? Because we are 20-something year olds.
Yeah,
yes.
You can do
totally
that
Gen Zs. Yeah, totally. But no, it was really good. I'm excited that we got to celebrate. And yeah, it was pretty quiet and good.
Nice.
How was your week?
It was kind of the same. Honestly, I've been looking forward to this the entire week. I think this is like filling our cup right now. My cup right now in terms of creativity. So,
Like our creative like juices are kind of flowing as we kind of start planning this and all the things. And it might, you know, we're going to start doing a little bit more like posting on our social media and everything. So I think that'll just bear with us. You know, older millennials here trying to catch up with the cool things in social media. So that should be fun.
I've been trying to like slowly roll out the idea of this podcast to people that I know. And I told my mom about it last week. And she texted me last night. And I don't know if you have this experience with your parents, but my mom doesn't understand that texting is still like a conversation. Like she uses our text messages like a Facebook wall. So they come with no context often. And they will just be like whatever thought pops into her mind. And so yesterday the text that I got was, I am in love with Smokey Robinson, ... literally. And she was so proud of herself, included a little like laughing, smiling emoji. But so two thoughts. My mom, we're a hit now in the Midwest where my mom lives.
She's
really going to be like repping us.
I really appreciate it.
And she deeply cares about Smokey Robinson apparently. So
that's good to know. And she likes to put in the name of her podcast in her random text. I really appreciate it. So thank you.
Yeah, she's a good salesman. You really want a Midwestern mom on your side, I think.
Oh, that's so nice. Love it. If we can get this translated in Spanish, I'll get my family involved and send it all the way to Colombia and we'll have international listeners.
I think that's a goal that I should work toward too. If I can do this podcast in Spanish, it'll be a real win for me too.
Then we can do that. Yeah, we'll start expanding. You know, after episode 2, we're already thinking about our worldwide conquests. I cannot speak today. There you go.
No, you can speak. Yeah. It's just we're allowed to make mistakes.
Yeah, that's right. Trips. Conquests. There you go. That's the word.
To anyone listening, you're just going to have to bear with us. We are imperfect people. We're just trying to get through this and have a fun time doing it.
Yeah, it'll be fun. This is a conversation with friends. That's what this is.
It is.
It's never perfect.
No. Speaking of imperfections, book slumps. I think a very real thing that everyone goes through at some point in their reading journey.
Yeah. When was your last reading slump?
I mean, I go through periods and of ebbs and flows where I read a ton at a time, but I've had one recently finishing Crescent City. I don't, there's something about the ACOTAR series, the Sarah J. Maas-verse of it all. She's amazing. I love her books. I got deeply invested in them, but do you know how many pages? Just like for all three of those series, right? Throne of Glass, ACOTAR, and Crescent City. You have a guess at the page count of those?
Page count. I'm going to say somewhere like 15,000.
Yeah, it's like 13,000 pages.
Oh my gosh. See?
And
that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's
and
a
you
pizza.
Read all of that.
I did. I read every last
every
book.
Every single one.
And when I finished it, I was like, I just need a break. I have a thesis now in this world. I know absolutely every fact. I've spent hours and hours and hours devoted to it, which is like, it's a testament to the stories, them being that
really good.
But I didn't want to read anything. I had to really like just dip into something completely opposite of that of that universe. What about you?
But you know, like maybe Maybe we need to kind of use that all that knowledge and your thesis and maybe do like a deep dive on some of those worlds.
Yeah.
In some of the future episodes.
That's a good idea.
And I'm going to try to catch up too. That'll be nice.
I'd really love to hear people's thoughts on what order to read those books too.
Really?
They all interconnect, but they are very different vibes, as they say. Like some are more modern, some are more...
And it's like the Crescent City one, right? It's supposed to be like in modern world.
Yeah, exactly. Type of thing. So I'd be very curious to see. But yeah, that definitely an idea for the future episode.
That would be good.
But I for right now, I needed a break. I switched to total opposite, like classy fiction and nonfiction self-help after that.
No, totally get it. And I think I went through something very similar to like in December and January. Where I started reading, like, you know, we went through Fourth Wing and Iron Flame, so went through that real quick. Then I read, like, all of the ACOTAR one from SJM. I didn't read, like, the Throne of Glass yet or, like, the Crescent City, but I read through, like, all of the ACOTAR things, which, how many books are there in that one? Is there, like, five of them?
I mean, some people call lengthy. Frost and Starlight as a half a book, but I think that's, a little bit cruel to the author, but yeah, five.
But, yeah, there was just five of them, so I read all of that, and then I jumped into, like, a couple of other... like you know, fantasy style books as well. And it was just like one after the other. And then I had to stop because it just got to be too much. And I think, not that I'm saying that the authors write the same way, but like, it's kind of like the same style of, you know, fantasy world building and like, you know, Face and some of the other books that I read had like werewolves and things. I'm like, okay, I think I need to stop. I'm not inspired by this anymore.
I need to live in the world that I'm in.
Exactly. And take a little break and kind of do like a palate cleanser. So like I think through my holidays, like Christmas and New Year's, I didn't read at all because I just wasn't feeling it. And it was so sad because...
Of all the times to want to escape your reality, you chose to stop doing that during Christmas.
Christmas. I know.
A wild choice.
crazy. but yeah, I just didn't read and it was really, really sad. But like one of the books that I think that kind of got me out of it was Midnight Library. That I think you recommended, and to me that was like a really nice short novel, and it was such a nice, it was still kind of fantasy, but like very different. It wasn't like, you know, crazy. It's kind of sci-fi, I guess. For anybody that hasn't read it, what is the name of the author for
Matt Haig.
Yeah, thank you. Really amazing story about like somebody that is kind of unhappy with their life and they want to potentially, you know, trigger warning here, potentially end it because they're just kind of over it. And this person is offered a couple of choices or maybe trying out other lives that they could have gone down.
How their life would have looked if they had chosen a different,
path. Things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, different choices that they could have made. It was really nice and it kind of takes you out of like, that book I think kind of brought me back out of like, okay, we can, there's other genres. It doesn't have to just, you just don't have to stay with the fantasy world.
I think a genre switch up is always
key.
A good idea to getting out of a slump. I frequently have to switch it up because at some point it's just, it can get to be taxing on your brain a little bit to like exist. Like it's all, as with everything, I think it's moderation.
I think so. And we talked about this in our last episode, like variety is just key. Like you're just gonna, variety it's gonna keep you like everything being interesting and kind of, for you to kind of start reading other things, like other genres and things.
So, yeah. Well, and I think there's a value in the escape, right? Mm-hmm. There's a value in taking a break from reality, which is sometimes a beatdown.
Yeah.
But I also think at some point you need to like reconnect with the world again. So I notoriously hate nonfiction, but I think like seeking out things that are different for you or maybe more of a challenge is a really good way to remind yourself like not to pigeonhole your tastes in one way, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, and that was like for me, like, okay, it was all the fantasy stuff and I kind of went into a little bit of a sci-fi type of story, but it was different enough that it kind of brought me back in into starting to read again.
Are you a note taker when you read?
Especially like in the fantasy stuff, I am because there's so many like new words and like things that you kind of have
to
remember.
Yeah, totally.
Like they're just like, and this thing means blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? What is this word? So I have to take a lot of notes on that.
Have you ever had that experience where you've read a word a bunch so you know what it means in context, but then you realize like you don't know how to say it at all?
Yes. Multiple
like
times.
The word Q-U-E-U-E. For the longest time, I was like, Quay? Is it a quay? And you have that moment where you're like, I'm not stupid. I promise. I just never heard anyone. There are like very literary words that people just don't use
anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. and you know, like as somebody that, you know, English is my second language, mm-hmm. some of these writers, like, you know, writers, they'll just start going crazy. And I'm like, I don't know what they're trying to say. So you have to pick up a lot of things on context because I don't want to stop. I'm like, let me get my dictionary or my phone to look something up and see what they mean. Like,
helpful when you play Wordle, though. There's a lot of like, literary. There was plat was a recent word, and I was just like, my husband was like, I have no idea what this word means. And I was like, oh, you need to read one fantasy series. You're going to see plat every
easy
left, right, and center. There's tons of,
oh my gosh. Yeah, it's, reading has just been like, it's a learning curve, right? Especially with a lot of, like, some of these things that I don't know what they mean, especially if I'm taking notes. When I'm building things, I'm like, I don't know the names of these people because sometimes I'll use names of people that are like really hard in my mind when I'm trying to read them out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was reading Akutar, Rhysand, I guess now, is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, like the way that I read him, it was Rhysand. I was like, that's totally wrong. So I love kind of listening, like watching some of those like Instagram posts where they tell you like, here's how you're supposed to be pronouncing all of these people's names. And I'm like, cool. I read every single one of these names wrong.
But I don't know. I feel two ways about that because sometimes it's kind of fun to like let it live in your imagination how you want it. It's like the same way when people do fan art. It can be fun, but it can also, I think it like sort of sets you up for disappointment sometimes because you're just thinking like, well, that's not how I pictured them. Yeah. So
I still don't know how to pronounce fair. No.
Feira.
Yeah. Don't idea. And in my mind, I always pronounce it in Spanish, which was fade, which is totally wrong.
I love that. It sounds so nice.
But
I
just, I'm like, okay, I don't know how to say this. I'm just going to read the name in Spanish and I'm just going to pronounce every single one of the letters that is in this name, which doesn't make any sense. But yeah, anyways, that was a little bit of a detour in Akutar world.
No, but I think, I mean, to your point, like note taking for me is a huge, I went to school for English literature. Mm-hmm. Don't do this, kids. If you are a Gen Z, if you're a Zoomer, don't go to school for English literature. It's really good at teaching you how to think. Mm-hmm. It's really bad at teaching you how to work in functional society where you have to make money.
Interesting. Okay. Good to know.
You're not going to like really go out there and be poised for success. But one of the good things about it is it teaches you really how to think about engaging in a topic that you find really boring because you have to read a lot. You read like 16 books per class per semester.
Oh my gosh,
yes. And not all those books are winners, not a shock. And the way that they teach you to get through it is like note-taking, engaging. Why am I bored in this moment? What is it about these characters that I don't like? What is something I wish that they had done differently? Like you'll see in my notes, I'm an insane margin writer. In a lot of my notes are just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Or like me roll it or I roll. And it's that for a lot of times will just get me back into like openly complaining, but complaining in a way that keeps me invested enough to finish.
That is a genius move. I never thought about taking notes about something that I didn't like. I think the way that I would take notes, it's like, oh, the meaning of this or like what this means or like, oh, maybe this character will come back into play.
Which is also good. I think doing that too, though, like guessing at what's going to happen next.
Exactly. But that's absolutely right. Like that's kind of how I take my notes. But I never thought of it like, okay, let me say like why I hate this person. Like that's actually kind of genius because I think it'll kind of remind you like maybe there's like a character build up towards the end. Might be easier for you to kind of look back into like where they started and where they are. So I might have to start doing that in the future. That's like a little bit of a reading hack. I love it. That's great.
You become those, you know, the Muppets, the two old men that sit in the theater and like are heckling. That is sort of what you turn into. I've never identified with a character more than those two Muppets.
I love that though. That's amazing. And just kind of throwing popcorn from the stands. You suck. I love it.
Look, they can't all be winners. They can't all be winners. Yeah. They're all, that's not true. They can't all be winners to you. What you like is personal.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
You know, and like the way that I like to read like a lot of things that are to me entertaining, right? Like, so like really nice stories, things that are maybe that are kind of, are going to kind of keep you engaged. And I was, I think very, what's the word? Like, I think I felt a little bit embarrassed because maybe like a lot of these books that I like to read may not be like the Pulitzer Prize winner books and things like that.
This is the theme. Those are our theme. Not everything has to be, just because it's not considered literary does not mean it's good or of any less value.
Yeah, not, and that's totally fair. So, but like, you know, a couple of years back, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to be, my New Year's resolution is that I'm going to be reading a biography or each one of the United States presidents. It's going to take me a year or like maybe 2 years, but I'm going to go ahead and do it.
That is a lofty goal.
It was. It was a very... I made it through half of the first book, so I'm still on President Washington's book.
Oh, you did it in chronological order, too.
I was like, I'm going to start from scratch. I actually Googled about like... what are the best biographies for each one of the presidents that you need to read? The Washington Post had like an amazing article on it. I'll be happy to post this on our socials if anybody's interested in what those are. And I'm like, okay, cool. This is great. I have my list. I'm going to start with His Excellency President Washington by Joseph Ellis. He's a Pulitzer winner from like some other books that he's written. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, this is great. Made it through the first half of the book. And I was just like, this is super boring and really dry. And I cannot finish this. And it was an actual reading book. Like, maybe, like, it would have been better if I did, like, an audible or something. Because it might have kept me more engaged.
I always think switching formats can sometimes be a good hack because it, like, sort of recontextualizes how you're listening to it. Mm-hmm. But I also think sometimes you're just not meant to finish.
I know. Everybody's on their own journey, right? And for me, reading about the presidents was not the journey I wanted to go down. It was not great. But with that, I did find like a really great podcast called Presidential, and each episode kind of devotes about 40 minutes on each president. So like to me, I'm like, okay, cool. I didn't read each biography of them, but I did find a really good podcast.
Well, and also like maybe, and that's good feedback too. Like maybe it's not user error. There are good ways to present information. There's a reason that In Cold Blood is considered one of the best books of all time. A journalistic book about something that is historically accurate, but written like a novelization. Like it's
makes it
better. Like let's make it palatable for our users. It doesn't make it smarter if it's impossible to want to finish.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It was, and like the writing, I think I'll post some pictures of this too. Like the writing on each page was super, super tiny. And like, it was just never ending thin pages. I'm just like, oh, okay. I don't think I can do it. And you know, if anybody out there read this book and finished it, you're way better than me. Cause I could not get through it. And maybe I'll get it another shot and see if I can finish it. Maybe that could be my goal. Even if it takes me a year to finish the first one. By the time I'm 90 years old.
With our listeners.
Yeah. I would love that. Actually, yeah, if anybody wants to read His Excellency President Washington with me, let's do it together and suffer together.
But I also think, no, you should set a boundary. We're setting a boundary that you don't have to do it if you don't want to.
That's true.
Don't let anyone guilt you into making what little spare time that you have spent doing that you're absolutely... hate.
I know. It was. And you know, it's fun. I have a couple of pictures where like I was dragging the book with me to like the pool. Like I'm gonna go, you know, like just like random places, taking the stupid book with me everywhere.
It's your emotional support book. I have a lot of those where I have made no progress in months, but it does come on a lot of trips with me.
Yeah.
It becomes your silent buddy more than his your travel.
You know, this book has gone all over Austin. I think he made it to California one time in one of my work trips and it never got open.
It's like a flat Stanley. Have you ever heard of those? Yes. The kids, you're like, this is my flat Stanley book. That's going to be, you know what? That's our new podcast turn.
I love it.
This is a flat Stanley. That's a book that you looks really good to have on your shelf.
Mm-hmm.
You really like dragging around with you, but you're absolutely never going to finish.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I will post a picture of mine. Mine still has the little bookmark where I left off and I've never made it past
it. I love that. I do this too. You leave the bookmark in the book. So it's like an external signifier. Like I did start this. Yeah. I chose not to finish it. But look, there's a bookmark there. You can see.
I'll just highlight something in the bookmark place. So they think like I'm being like super smart. And I'm like, I just want like an easy access to this page.
Just in case.
Yeah. You never know when like a good old Washington fact might come in handy.
That was Wolf Hall for me. Have you heard of that book, Wolf Hall?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They had an Amazon series about it, and this should tell you something. I got 150 pages into that book at least twice, maybe three times. And if you ask me right now what the plot of it was, I could not name a single character. I could not tell you. I know generally it's about maybe Henry VIII. Mm-hmm. Again, I have read this book. 150 pages passed in this book.
And it's just like, woof.
No idea what happened.
Yeah.
And at some point, I want to be a good student. I want to finish everything that I start. And for this, I just had to give myself permission. Like, whoever the audience is for this book, it's not me. Like, the space that is going into my brain.
You kind of know about it, though.
Yeah, exactly.
And excuse me, I'm like battling a little bit of a cough, so please don't mind that I'm going to be having a cough drop in my mouth, so hopefully that's not going to come through
for
in
our audio. For our ASMRs, you can listen to this cough drop just slowly moving.
Just moving around in my mouth, so I'm so sorry. I will do my best to like not be super obvious. Yeah. Yeah, we should, you know what? We should, I like your idea about the Flat Stanley book, so maybe we need to kind of get your book, Wolf Hall, my President Washington book, and just kind of have like a wall of fame type of thing.
We'll start posting on our socials, yeah, our literalisms that are slowly coming into play.
Kind of happening.
Yeah, because we definitely want to have a scale of literalies in terms of good and bad, but Flat Stanley is like, it's just not going to make it to the literally scale. Mm-mm. It's so bad, we can't even get through it.
Yeah, bad for us. Like, I think to your point, like that could be like something that like, maybe some people will really love it, but it just didn't work for us. And it is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah. Is there a book that you started that you wish you'd finish or that you tell people that you finished but you haven't actually finished?
Wuthering Heights.
Oh, Wuthering Heights.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Never finished it.
Yeah.
Kind of sad. But it makes me look like, yeah, I've read some classics. I did not finish that. What about you?
Mine's Infinite Jest.
Yeah, you were talking about that last week.
And this is, again, I read 12,000 pages of Sarah J. Maas. Infinite Jest is half of that. I was actually laughing the other day, setting the series next to each other because Infinite Jest is notoriously difficult to finish because it's so long, and it doesn't hold a candle to the Maasiverse. And listen, yet I can't do it. And I'm sorry. Is the book good? Is it good?
I have no idea. I never even tried it.
Someone tell me why it's good. I'm sure that there are
why is it a classic? Yeah.
Yeah, it's so long. It's just miserable. Someone's going to write in and be like, you're an idiot for the following reasons. Here's why it's so good.
Yeah, and here it is. Here's the caveat. We're not like this. We're smart enough and not like the classiest readers.
I do the New York Times crossword puzzle. No.
It's fine.
I disagree. Yeah. We are classy readers. We do the New York Times crossword puzzle.
That is true.
We are two smart, capable, professional women. But I don't like having the idea that something is good if it's hard.
Yeah.
Something is valid if it's just impossible to read.
Kind of like classism a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. It's like so much better than you for reading
your
this.
Some of your favorite books are Jane Austen.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't finish one of them.
I mean, that's a classic. Yeah. One of my favorite books of all time, Great Expectations.
Love that book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Charles Dickens, classic writer, notoriously in the canon of some of the best books of all time. I love that book. You know what that book is? It's readable. It's finishable. It has romance. It has a crazy old lady. Yeah. Miss Havisham is one of my icons, but
It is true though. Like I had to read Love in the Time of Cholera and also 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel García Márquez.
I love 100 Years of Solitude.
And I read it in Spanish and it was the hardest thing I have ever read in my life. And it was a lot easier and more palatable to read it in English, which is kind of sad because like he wrote it in Spanish. Like you're supposed to kind of get all these complexities of it. And I just could not get it. I could not get into it in Spanish. I had to finish it in English because the writing in Spanish, it was one of those that it was one. And I think it kind of translates in English too, where like it was one sentence can go on for like a page. Like that's kind of what he's known for. He has like these really run, long sentences that just keeps going and going and going. And like it can be exhausting trying to follow that. But that's kind of what he was known for.
Yeah.
And I read him, and I can say, I finished it. But would I read him again? Probably not.
But I think to your point, right? Like you got that to our point earlier about like just engaging with content that's boring. It's a balance, right? I don't want anyone ever to suffer through. But also, if you feel like, I really want to know that I've taken the time to read something that is considered a classic, like engaging with why it's boring, like thinking about why the style is different.
I love that.
That is, like, you finish it.
I think
that's probably
it,
why, because there was something unique about it.
Yeah, like, the stories were really nice and totally recommended, but I don't think I would do it again. The Love in the Time of Cholera, I read the book. There's a pretty decent movie out there that I think was right in the 90s or early 2000s. That was pretty decent. I still recommend the book over it, just for you to kind of, like, get the story, because I feel like the movie jumps. It's expected, right? Like, you're going to jump over some of the things, but it is what it is.
It's like Shakespeare, where if you read the book, then you can watch the modern
copies,
the modern version, like the modern movie version. You're like, I understand the general plot now, and now I can go back and dip into getting through the language of Shakespeare.
It's funny, like, I was reading, I think I was watching a video of, like, one of these, like, really famous, I don't know, like, Broadway actor, and he was acting in, like, the old school English that Shakespeare used, and it was kind of, like, amazing, like, the amount of skill set that it takes to be able to say those words aloud and make it sound like they mean something, because, you know, this is pretty old English, and that's kind of a skill set. I don't think I could read that, you know, I don't think I could read Shakespeare right now. Again, English is a second language. I'm trying to kind of go figure out, like, old English is just going to make it a lot more difficult.
But to your point, like, sometimes listening to it, right? I think I had this experience in high school where they did Michelle Pfeiffer and I can't remember who else was in it. Maybe Kevin Kline did a version of A Midsummer Night's Dream. And we were doing a Shakespeare segment in my high school class. And without listening to, like, the sing-songy nature of the way that he wrote, the poetic nature, you miss a lot. You get so mired down in the words on the page looking unfamiliar that when I watched that movie, which, again, I was 16 and I was like, oh, these are, like, attractive people running around the forest. It's fairies. Again, it's fairies. But hearing it and then going back to the play, I had so much more respect for it. And I was like, oh, I sort of understand what's happening here. I have a visualization to go along with it. It sort of sits in my brain differently reading it, like I've heard it spoken. So again, like, I think sometimes just switching it up to a different medium can help.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So maybe in summary, just to kind of close out this first thing, potentially trying like a different genre, maybe changing the way that you're going to read your books, maybe doing like an audiobook or seeing if you can have like a video visual type of situation that's going to make it a little bit easier. And changing out your genre, I think. Maybe I already mentioned this, but that's going to make it a little bit easier.
Changing your genre, changing the format that you're engaging with the content, and then engaging with the content. Again, I'm a big believer in this. Take notes. Write down, I hate this person. Or I mark down each time the person that you hate shows up. I don't know.
I feel like I loved it. I'm actually going to start doing that. I think I'm going to start taking notes out of hate in some of the books, potentially. Just like start calling that out. I love that was my favorite tip. Like, don't write down things that you want to do it because you want to learn, or like trying to remember, do it, you know, if you're hating it, call those things out.
Silently heckle your authors.
Heckle them. Love that. All right, so we're going to take a little bit of a break here and then we'll be right back.
We'll come back with some Libby tips and tricks.
Yeah, fun all times. Right.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, welcome back. So our next segment, we want to just kind of give you guys a little bit of some tips and things that we have learned over the past few years. So we kind of started to get a little bit more involved with like our digital reading. And I think now with the Libby app out there, it's made it a lot more accessible for us to be able to kind of borrow books from our public libraries and be able to send them directly into our e-readers or your phone or your iPad or wherever you may be reading potentially. I'm still really big into buying books, but sometimes I feel like what I'm doing now is reading my ebooks, and then when I decide to buy something, those are like my little trophies. Like if I, and especially if I liked it, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna try to see if I can find multiple copies, special editions, and things like that. But starting out with the Libby app, I think it's a really good starting point.
Yeah, so Libby gives you basically access to digital books on your smart devices, which is very cool. Yeah. But on the topic of slumps, right, you are held to a timeline, and sometimes really hard to meet that timeline. So I think Magda has some really good ideas for how to sort of work the system a little bit to make sure that you finish the book whenever possible.
there are a couple of things, right? And I think everybody has at least for like the libraries that I'm in right now, we normally have a 2-week loan period and that's it. And then you can actually start putting like more books on hold and they're going to start kind of arriving and it can kind of get a little bit overwhelming. I think normally I want to say that I handle about like 10 to 12 holds at a time, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you start adding them and then like a whole bunch of them come in at the same time. Say,
what do you do when they all come up together?
So there are a couple of things like, feel free to use the deliver later and don't feel bad about it. And you're not going to lose your spot in the line. So you can just kind of click deliver later and then in 7 days, it'll just kind of remind you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every Monday morning, that's my little thing of like deliver later because I didn't finish with the books. And it's totally fine. You're not going to lose your spot because I think some of the books are in such high demand that it takes like your 1,213 position or something. And it's, I'm not lying. There's a book that I'm actually like 1,000 in line
right
now.
What book is it?
I forget which one it was. I think it was,
anything new release. I feel like I remember waiting a long time for Lessons in Chemistry. I was pretty much in that queue for 10 to 12 weeks. Same with Flowers or Killers of the Flower Moon.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Anytime there's a movie adaptation, you're going to get in line. But to your point, you just add a bunch at the same time.
And then
as they become available. Yeah.
You just deliver them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, totally recommend. Like, don't feel bad if you just kind of want to go ahead and click like deliver later, and then it'll just come back to you in 7 days, and then you're not going to lose your spot.
So, and to your point, but I think to your point, if you put them in your queue, it also signals to the library there's a lot of demand for this book, and they can acquire additional copies. I think I get notices like that all the time where they say, oh, they've gotten 10 more of this.
Yeah. For like a lot of some of like the really popular memoirs, like the Britney Spears memoir, I think, they actually, like, I think it was the Round Rock Public Library that ended up adding a couple more, like, some more digital copies because like the demand was so high that they had to do that, which is kind of great. But yeah, so feel free to do that. Keep delivering it later and it works. The other thing too, I don't know if many people know this, but you can have multiple library cards in your app. So I have two library cards. So I have like my Round Rock one that I use, like my local one, and then I use the Houston Public Library as well. So, and for Houston, you just have to be like a Texas resident and you qualify and you can kind of get access to it. And I actually use that one the most because it has, like, access to, like, 30 book holds, and I can borrow up to 10 books at a time or something like that.
Oh, I didn't realize that different libraries had different rules.
They have different rules.
Oh, so like Round and probably Rock, different books, too, right?
Yeah, different books. Some of them will have, like, a little bit more options and things like that. Like, the one that I had in Round Rock only allowed me to have 5 holds at a time. That's nothing. Mm-mm. I feel like that's nothing.
Yeah, no.
And maybe that's why I got into trouble when I went to the Houston one, because it was, like, 30 holds, and I'm like, yeah, all of them. I'm just going to fill my whole queue out. And then that's why I got like 15 books at one point. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. But yeah, totally recommend that. Look into your like state or like other cities that might be able to do that. So you can kind of actually take advantage of multiple library cards in your app. And it's going to be really helpful. One of my really favorite ones, and I think you've used this one, is the airplane mode hack. So
I would never. I always finish my books on time and return them responsibly like a good citizen of my county.
I'm so sorry for accusing you.
Rude, Micah. No, you're exactly right. I've done this. I probably have my Kindle on airplane mode right now.
But no, but it's a really great one. And I actually just used this pretty recently that I had a book and it was taking me a little bit longer. And you can actually just turn your Kindle in airplane mode and your book will stay in there and you can just continue to read it. So even if your library loan expires, it's not going to take it away. It's still going to stay because you're Kindle is not connected to their internet, so it's not going to take it out.
Yeah, use it sparingly, right? Because when you're using it, that means that somebody else can't. But an extra day or two,
it'll be okay.
It'll be okay. This is
you'll be good.
I think that was
the last one that I did that with. It was like a cheesy Scottish Victorian romance. It was great though, but I held it for like an extra weekend while I was flying, so
use
it was
responsibly
great.
But a great idea.
Yeah, it's really
okay.
Good.
So tips,
super handy
airplane mode super to extend handy. your loan period a little sneakily.
Yeah.
Tip two, check other libraries outside of your local library. I love that. The whole point of a library is to make books accessible, so why not
take advantage
of
system.
It. Yeah. And then tip three, use your queue.
Yeah. Please manage it. Deliver it later. It's not a big deal. If you just kind of keep clicking it, it's totally fine. Don't be ashamed.
So smart.
And then there's some other things too out there. I don't know if you've ever heard of like the libraryextension.com, that if you go there, you can download it. And like if you use Chrome or Firefox, if you're in Goodreads or Amazon, this extension will actually tell you if your public library has the book available.
That's so cool.
So whether it's digitally or an actual copy, and it'll just kind of be in the background. So as you're kind of looking at some of the books that you want to read next time, it'll kind of tell you if they're ready or not. So it's pretty handy.
That is very cool.
Yeah. So yeah, libraryextension.com. Download it. It'll be good. I'm not getting paid
for
saying this.
We're not getting paid for this.
Yeah.
Although libraryextension.com, if you want to pay us, we will say yes.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. We'll take all the money, but we're not getting paid right now for that. But
this is all for you. This is the work that we do for you, the listener.
I know. We're not getting paid. We get paid in laughter.
We are your unpaid interns to make your reading life better. Yeah.
And I don't know if I told you about another thing with Goodreads that they do, like the giveaways. I've actually won
on Goodreads. I had no idea.
Yeah, like they'll send you emails and they're like, hey, we have this book giveaway. Sign up. I actually have won a couple of books from them. And now the latest one, one of the books that I'm actually reading was from a giveaway that they were doing. And it was the Book of Doors.
How do you sign up?
Yeah, no, I just get like emails, notifications from them. So, you know, re-sign up to your notifications if you're interested in that. They'll send me like emails maybe like once a week of like, here are the book giveaways that we're doing. You can just sign up and see if luck is on your side. And then you might get some free books that way.
That's so smart. Pretty didn't talk about this in our hacks for getting over reading slumps. And maybe we can talk about this on a future episode. But I think tracking your books that you're reading is another one with an app like that. I know I use Goodreads. I also use Storygraph, which is...
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
It's an independent book tracker. I really, really like it. It's it's also a female coder or female owner, if I recall, which is very cool. We should talk about that in a future episode, but I think tracking books is a good one. And then a bonus of that, if you can get free books out of it.
Even better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like every time I go to a bookstore, I always come out with like 5 or 6 books. And I'm like, why did I do this to myself? In a good way. Just because it's going to take me a long time. So if you can get it for free, even better.
Yeah, but there is such a feeling of like walking out with a stack of books and the smell of it and the feeling of it and just accumulating more TBRs. Yeah.
Love it. I do have, and maybe we can talk about this and like when was the last time that we did our like a book haul and then how many of the actual ones have we actually read.
Book hauls are coming. Book hauls are coming.
Because they're, I feel like I just did that like a couple months ago and I think I sent you a picture of them. Like, look at all the stuff that I got at half price books. I think I read like 2 out of the 7.
Book buying is such a, like, talk about a slump, a way to like get over a slump, a life slump, not even just a reading slump.
Yeah.
Walking through a bookstore and just... putting a stack of books, making you feel like future you is going to be so productive and so much better than current you. You're going to get through all of these. You're going to, I love that feeling.
I know. It is a great feeling. I do love walking through just bookshops and just kind of browsing and the way, and I love it because sometimes some of the people that are like managing the stores, they'll have like really nice ways of like doing the little stories of like, here's the kind of person that would enjoy this book. And I love reading all of those little stickies. I don't know. Just makes me feel kind of cozy. It's like a little cozy vibe.
I agree. I mean, yeah, a bookstore is the best place in the entire world. And one of my favorite things to do is to look through children, particularly in the used bookstores, getting children's books that I loved as a kid.
Oh, okay.
I read those a lot. Like the other day I got a like early edition Nancy Drew book, which I loved those books when I was a kid.
Gosh, that's amazing.
And every once in a while you'll find one with an inscription on it. You know, when you used to get books as a kid and someone would inscribe it, which is maybe a little sad, but also I really, it's fun. It's fun to like see, get a little peek into someone's history and then also just like remind yourself nostalgically.
It's like a little archaeology type of day. Yeah. You're just kind of digging through the history
of it.
I love it. So cute.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. And now I'm going to, next time that I'm in a bookstore, I'm going to start kind of going through them when they use books area.
These are on the fly recommendations for getting through a life slump.
I feel like I'm learning so much. I'm going to start doing hate note taking. I'm going to start doing that. That's going to be my number one thing that I'm going to be implementing. And then going through the children's section and reading the encryptions.
And mine is just going to be culling through public libraries.
Yes.
And figuring out all the bonuses of living somewhere that's
not my somewhere city. Else. I know. It sucks. And yeah, like it was, you know, like in the area that we live, I actually don't have access to a public library. I have to go out of my way and go to like another city and try to get them. So I have to actively look for other cities that will allow me to use their public library for free. Because where I'm at, situated, I just don't have access to that. Just kind of unfortunate, I feel like. But it is what it is.
It is unfortunate in that the whole point of a library is to give access to everyone. Public. But also a bonus is that you learn this tip. So
yeah, exactly.
That's something.
Out of necessity.
But
yeah, those are all of the Libby hacks that we have. But we'll be more than happy. We'll post them out in our social media so you'll kind of have them handy. And anybody can just refer back to it whenever they want.
Cool. Thanks, Magda.
Yeah, thanks. All right, we'll be right back.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We are going to do the news, our book news.
Book news.
There's some really exciting things this week. That I cannot wait for. I don't know if you saw, but Brittany Griner's book, Coming Home, is coming out in May.
I'm really excited to read it,
Are you
actually
a memoir person? I can't remember if you're
talking
about
this. But I think just the more I talk to you, the more I feel like I want to start getting really into them because some of the stories that you have brought, you know, to the podcast or when we talk offline, I'm like, this is fascinating. So I might actually add this one to my list.
I definitely want to. I think it's interesting, too, because the like the event to publication timeline is pretty short.
It was really quick.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I feel like it's really interesting to read a memoir about a time that you are currently living through. I remember following that news story.
Do we want to say who she is just for anybody that might
yeah.
not know?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Didn't think
Brittany
about
Griner
that.
Is a professional women's basketball player who was detained in Russia due to marijuana possession.
Correct.
But there's mm-hmm. there's a lot of differing opinions about this. This does get sort of political. But essentially, the U.S. Exchanged a Russian prisoner of war mm-hmm. To get her home. And I know people had lots of feelings on it. I personally think the initial arrest was used to sort of put pressure on America. Like, and regardless of your feelings, I personally don't really care about mm-hmm. marijuana usage. I think to each their own. We yeah. all, if alcohol is legal, then that should be legal. But again, that's mm-hmm. that's my personal opinion. People are welcome.
Lindsay for president.
Yeah. yeah. but I think that story is going to be fascinating because regardless of your feelings on the politics of it, just the humanity of it, the humanity of being someone who is a professional sports star who sort of gets pushed into mm-hmm. a political issue, is fascinating. And her experience of being in a Russian prison, she's not a diplomat, right? Yeah. This is a human being who plays sports, who is now mm-hmm. on a national stage representing the United States
mm-hmm.
And has a partner, a same-sex partner who is advocating for her to come home. I think it's going to be just a fascinating story and I cannot wait to read it.
Yeah, I'm kind of, and again, it's probably like morbidly curiosity because I do know that some of those prisons, you know, things that you kind of hear over time in like multiple wars mm-hmm. and over the past decades that they're very intense.
Yeah.
They're not known for having like a lot of human rights advocation, like, you know, happening in there. So it'll be really interesting to kind of hear and read a little bit more about her experience and the type of things that she might have seen or experienced herself that are going to be really intense.
I want a book from her partner too, who was a huge advocate in getting her home and who was put themselves in the spotlight, mm-hmm. in the political spotlight as a partner of someone in sports, again, in order to keep public eye on it, in order to put pressure on mm-hmm. the U.S. government to bring, and I think that's sort of amazing. I want to know every detail of the story.
And it's kind of crazy. Like, I'm really curious too, like, how do those conversations happen after, like, immediately they, like, apprehend her and, like, okay, what is the play-by-play there? Like, do we talk, like, do they have to go talk to, like, the ambassador? And mm-hmm. then they just kind of, there's, like, a chain of command. Then it goes all the way to the president. Like, it's kind of a fascinating thing of, like, how all of those things might have taken place. And maybe for someone like a normal person that doesn't have access to a lot of those political knowledge and how to like mm-hmm. advocate for other people, like that's going to be an interesting thing for us to learn a little bit more about.
Again, this book has not come out yet. We have not read it yet. And here we are. We've spent, I cannot wait mm-hmm. to read it.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Maybe we can add that in as one of our book deep dives and just talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah,
it's going to be
for
a good one.
We'll be talking about it on this podcast. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this, you know, it's only our second episode, but we were bringing up a lot of like celebrity memoirs, so maybe that just needs to be like a little permanent segment in our books.
Yeah,
it's probably like a big hit.
We'll keep it balanced genre-wise. Yeah. I think we want, I mean, I think that's one of the goals of the show is to
variety.
Really delve into everything. Variety.
We like variety. Yeah. We like everything.
What else do we have?
Yeah. There's a couple of other things. So another one is, I don't know if you've heard of Project Hail.
Project Hail Mary. I read that
Project
book.
Project Hail Mary.
Yeah, same author as The Martian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's actually, there's a movie that's being done based on that book, and it's actually starring Ryan Reynolds. Nope, Ryan Gosling. Gonna snap that back.
No. It's the Battle of the Ryans. Okay.
One of the Ryans. No, it's actually being, it's starring Ryan Gosling. And it's actually, I believe that his production company is the one that's actually going to be producing it. Mm. This might be like his first big movie that he's actually going to be producing. And the shooting starts in June. So that'll be kind of exciting. I'm really, I don't know, Martian, I think. I love that movie. That movie was actually one that is like total comfort for me. It's funny and it's good and I feel like I didn't get to read the book by him, but like I think this is one that I'm adding on my list. I want to read it. I've heard good things about it from you and mm-hmm. one of our other friends, so can't wait to check it out.
And that's sort of his style too. I would have believed Ryan Reynolds honestly because the author's style mm-hmm. is very much like it's highly scientific. It is science fiction.
And that's his thing, right? Like he writes a lot of like science fiction like that.
Science fiction, but with like very, it's like a postmodern sort of style of writing. So it's mm-hmm. very conversational. It's very funny. The Martian was the same way where like catastrophic mm-hmm. things are happening. Yeah. And you sort of have to get into the science of it, but you're distracted by the fact that it like something silly is going on. Like weirdly, Ryan Reynolds might've been great in that role, but I love to look at Ryan Gosling. So I'm not mad at it at all.
Yeah, that's very, interesting. Very cool. And apparently like he picked this up like in 2020 or 2021, like the rights to be able to do this, so it took like a long time to actually start getting into production. So it'll be a good one.
It does.
So
speaking of a long time to get into production, our next news note, I think, right, it's about ACOTAR.
Yes. So I think, as many of you may know, ACOTAR was picked up by Hulu a long time ago, and they were supposed to be producing like a series about it and everything, but everything just kind of come to a halt. Mm. Nothing has happened. There was like a rumor out there that they actually dropped it and they're not gonna be doing it anymore. But then Sarah J. Maas, there was like a candid picture of her having coffee with Margot Robbie, who has a really successful production company right now. So there are, you know, rumors out there that maybe potentially she might be looking into picking that up. So that might be exciting. But it's funny though, because this happened and then like a week later, articles started dropping saying like, oh no, Hulu hasn't dropped it. It's just on hold. Like we still have the rights. So who knows what's going on behind the scenes with that.
The book to Barbie movie pipeline is real right now. Mm-hmm. We're going to have another Barbie Ken battle between Project Hail Mary and
Margot Robbie. ACOTAR.
Good luck. Good luck, Gosling. Those ACOTAR fans are rabid.
We are a crazy bunch. So it'll be interesting. And I'm really curious because there's so much in the books that I don't know how it will look like if you're doing it like with real life people.
I know.
I'd much rather see like a cartoon style or like comic style type of thing. So
I'm terrified of the casting because I think we all have really strong thoughts about how everyone looks. Mm-hmm. I'm excited though. I'm excited.
It'll be good. So mm-hmm. we'll see. More to come. Hopefully we'll kind of get to hear a little bit more, but according to Hulu, they still have like the ACOTAR rights, but maybe Margot Robbie, you know, she's a pretty powerful lady in mm-hmm. Hollywood right now. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
Very cool.
It'll be good. Another one that is kind of coming up right now, and I think you might be more interested in this, is Emily Henry did a whole tweet where she mentioned that two of her favorite actors had like a selfie. And I'm terrible. I think you actually might know how to pronounce her name.
Oh, Ioa Debri. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Paul Mescal. Yeah. I saw that picture that she's referring to.
Yeah.
I do not know anything about Emily Henry. You're our Emily Henry correspondent on this podcast. But I love those two actors so much. They are both attractive. They are both wildly talented. Mm-hmm. I saw them together and like prayed to the romance gods that they are in some kind of relationship. And even if they aren't, I don't care. I want this to happen so badly.
Mm-hmm. And I think Emily Henry wants it to happen too. She does have three books that have been picked up to be made into movies. Mm. It's going to be Book Lovers, People We Meet on Vacation, and Beach Read. So the rumor was that potentially she was kind of pushing for them to be on Beach Read. So we'll see. But, you know, also good for Emily. Like, she has three books right now that got picked up to be developed.
Yeah.
Good for her getting that money.
Again, the power of female romance novelists. And Paul Mescal mm-hmm. was in
Normal People.
Sally Rooney's Normal mm-hmm. People adaptation. So
great. It was really good.
And then Ioa mm-hmm. Debri is killing it with The Bear right now. I really mm-hmm. just want to see those two people in anything. I will watch it and I will read those books.
They're so charismatic and likable. Every time I hear them in an interview, I'm like, you guys are pretty cool, man. They're great.
They're so cool.
Yeah.
Cooler than I was. I think they're in their 20s.
Mid-20s. They're little babies. Yeah, they're super great and very charismatic. So more to come on that. I'm actually really excited. So we'll see who ends up being casted. And as soon as we get like dates and stuff for the movies, we'll talk about it too and maybe do a comparison to see how the books compared to the movies. We love talking about that. Are the movies better than the books? The answer is always no, but we'll try. Maybe we'll find an exception.
Yeah. Look, we're looking for the exception to the rule.
We're always in it. Although maybe Dune might be that. I don't know. Maybe that's controversial.
Ooh, we'll talk about Dune. We'll talk about Dune. We'll do an upcoming episode solely on Dune. Yes.
Controversial. I know. It's a little too much. I get it. And then I think the last one that I have in here is there was recently a picture that put out into the interwebs of Christian Bale. He's going to be playing Frankenstein. And they just released his book, like his picture of what he's going to look like. And it's based on the movie called The Bride. And Maggie Gyllenhaal is going to be playing the bride. So it'll be kind of interesting. I'm wondering like what that's going to look like. The pictures look you know, it's Christian Bale. He goes all out
oh, yeah.
into character. So it'll be interesting to see how he's going to play Frankenstein monsters.
Maggie Gyllenhaal, Christian Bale team up is going to be, those are two intense personalities. You said it's based on, is not Ali Hazelwood's The Bride though.
No. It's like the actual Frankenstein book. Mm. So it's like 1940s.
Oh, like Mary Shelley's.
Like, yeah, the actual Frankenstein book. So, but the, I think the movie is going to be called The Bride, and let me just double check.
Oh, I love that, like a retelling. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it'll be interesting. I haven't seen like the synopsis of it exactly, or what it's going to look like. They just released the pictures of it. It's going to be good. Let's see.
I am so excited. We'll have to post some pictures on our Instagram.
Mm-hmm. I'll post them out. Yeah, we can do that. And I don't know. I like Christian Bale. He's an amazing actor. Like, he just, like, blends into the role he's so also, well.
He's deeply attractive, so that helps too. I mean, not on everything, but yeah. No, I'm
I was going to say, not in everything. But yeah, he's he's a really great actor.
Okay, so I think that's all we have for news, right? And potentially that's the end of our second podcast.
I know. I can't believe we have we're official podcasters with two episodes.
Two real episodes.
In the world. We're little baby podcasters, but we're making it. It's happening.
Yeah, we'll keep releasing these on Wednesdays every week, so keep an eye out for them. And we want to hear your feedback, too. You can always find us at _literallypod on Instagram, mm-hmm. and we'll post all of our behind-the-scenes, our to-be-reads, a calendar of our upcoming episodes. There'll be all sorts of fun content.
Yeah.
And then you can heckle us on our individual Instagrams too. I'm at _literallylindsay.
And I'm at, oops, sorry.
_literallylindsay with an A. That's okay.
I'm sorry. And then I'm at _literallymagda, M-A-G-D-A.
Cool. Thank you guys for joining us at Literally Books, the podcast, where we say what we read.
And we mean what we say.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Can be our like no Roomba.
Oh, no Roomba.